Welcome to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who motivate you to overcome the odds, break down barricades, and shift your beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Share in the journey and find a new path full of miracles waiting to be discovered. Now, here's your host, Candace McClain.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Everyday Miracles, and I'm your host, Candace McClain. Today on the show, what makes you truly happy? Is it an increase in pay, maybe? Would a new car do the trick? Or how about spending time with family, especially over the holidays right now? Or is happiness a state of mind that you create yourself? We have the latest research on happiness, and you may be surprised to learn just where the happiness hotspots are around the world. Dan Buettner will be joining us on the show today to share his research and insights, which he chronicles in his latest book, Thrive, Finding Happiness the Blue Zone's Way. And like always, we're going to open your mind to unlimited possibilities and learn ways that we can start creating more happiness in our lives starting today. So thank you so much for tuning in, especially I know the countdown to Christmas is on, and with Christmas just a couple days away now, you know, are you thinking, what could I give someone to maybe contribute to their happiness instead of just buying them some other gadget or bright and shiny thing they probably don't need? And I know I'm still struggling right now to find a gift for my husband. So I don't know. Maybe Dan can help me out here with that today. That's what I'm hoping. But let me tell you all about Dan Buettner. He's an internationally recognized researcher, explorer, and author. He founded Blue Zones, specializing in individual health products and community well-being programs. And as I mentioned, he's traveled the world to find the best practices in health, longevity, and happiness. His National Geographic cover story on longevity, The Secrets of Living Longer, was actually one of the top-selling issues in history. His book, The Blue Zones, hit the New York Times bestseller list. Dan's appeared as a longevity and happiness expert on The Oprah Winfrey Show, Good Morning America, The Today Show, ABC World News, CBS's The Early Show, Dateline, and CNN. And in his latest book, Thrive, Finding Happiness the Blue Zone's Way, Dan reports on the surprising findings from his 5-year global study on the keys to personal happiness, which he's going to share with us today. Dan, welcome to the show.
Would it be a cliche to say I'm happy to be here?
No, that's wonderful. We're happy to have you. So the more happiness, the better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now.
Exactly, exactly. And I don't know, just reading up on you and your research and everything, I mean, this sounds like it's been a real extraordinary journey for you. I mean, traveling to all four corners of the world in search of the secrets to longevity, to well-being and happiness. I mean, first of all, it sounds like a really great job.
It's hard to beat. When you think of it, first of all, I get to work with National Geographic and the best photographers and the best editors in the world. I get to pursue, which happens to be my personal passion, which is exploration and finding things that matter to people, going into traditional cultures in a scientifically vetted way and bringing back findings that can enrich our lives, but doing it, again, under the aegis of science, and then, sure. And then doing it all on expense account. I actually get paid to write these articles and get my expenses reimbursed, and I get to write books that people seem to be buying.
That's wonderful. And I mean, what kind of impact has this experience and research had on your life personally? I mean, what were the changes that you became aware of that you had to make in your life based on what you found out?
Well, I spent the first 5 or 6 years with these Blue Zones, and what we did was find geographically defined and then demographically confirmed areas where people are reaching age 100 at rates sometimes 10 to 12 times greater than we do in America. They live an extra decade. A fifth the rate of cardiovascular disease and cancer. And we found 5 of those places and distilled it down into 9 common denominators. And a lot of the things that we think bring us health and longevity really don't. Like supplements really don't have an impact because most of us don't do it. Diets don't work for 98% of the people who start them. A lot of food marketers will try to market us foods that they tell us will make us healthier, but really we end up just eating more food. Mm-hmm. The things that worked and I've incorporated into my life is really think about the people I hang out with, because behaviors are contagious, just like a cold is, even more contagious than a cold. So I try to hang out with healthier people consciously. I'm not a hugely religious person, but I force myself to go back to the religion I grew up with and just do it rotely right now in the hopes it'll take, because I know that people who have a religion live 4 to 14 years longer than people who don't.
14 years longer. Wow.
That 14 years goes to inner-city minorities. They benefit the most. So if you're a rich suburbanite, it's probably closer to 4 years. But the bottom line is it's going to give you more extra estimated years of life than you know any supplement that a late night infomercial will market you,
mm-hmm.
and probably a happier life as well.
And so, what was it about these places? Was it their geographic location? I mean, you mentioned faith, but their lifestyle, their eating habits, sense of community.
Well,
what was it?
That's a really interesting question. The Dana's twin study established that only about 10% of how long we live is dictated by genes. So you could have parents who both died at 50, and you have just as good a chance or nearly as good a chance to live to 100 than somebody whose both of their parents lived to 100. So genes don't make that much difference. Now, where geography figures in these blue zones, and I'll tell you quickly where they were. So it's Okinawa, the highlands of Sardinia, Ikaria, Greece. It's an island off the coast of Turkey, Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica, and among the Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda. Now, what they all have in common geographically, or at least culturally, is they're somewhat isolated. So the American food culture and globalization, all the sort of mechanized conveniences that come and technology networks that come with modern life, they don't really reach these places. So it has enabled kind of a traditional way of life to endure many decades longer than they have in most of America. And mm-hmm. that's why a lifestyle, they differ from us in no other way other than they have a different environment. Their surroundings are slightly different. They're nudged into different behaviors. And they have a 9 different lifestyle habits that most of us don't.
Okay. And did you find that your research on happiness, did the places that seem to come up and breed longevity also breed happiness?
There's a big overlap. In other words, being unhappy is as bad for you as a smoking habit. It costs you about 8 years of life expectancy if you're chronically unhappy. Now, happiness has a bigger genetic component. Yeah, about 30 to 40% of how happy you are, or the average person, is dictated by genes. 20% is chance. You know, if you have chronic pain or you're congenitally depressed, it's hard to be happy. About 50% is up to you. Now, when you look at the happiness hotspots, they tend to be long-lived, and the longevity hotspots tend to be happy. But except for the probably Costa Rica, which I think has the best convergence of both happiness and longevity on the planet. They're not exactly the same.
Okay. And you you talked a little bit about a woman that you met. I think she was from Costa Rica, actually. Was her name Panchita?
Yes, Panchita.
Am I saying that right?
103-year-old woman, wakes up every morning at 4 a.m., she sweeps up her porch to welcome guests. Her 83-year-old son named Tommy rides his bike over, and they have a little visit. She puts on a carnival dress every day, and she has one of these explosively happy demeanors that just attracts people to her. And I think that's part of her secret to longevity, that she's always socially engaged, and local kids come over and help her with chores, so she's never completely alone. The one or two times she did fall down metaphorically and literally in her life, there were people around her to pick her up. I interviewed about 270 people like Panchita around the world, and one thing I can say about them all is they were all likable people, which isn't to say that they were born likable necessarily, but they learned it over the century of life that they've been on the planet.
Okay. And based on your findings, would you say that we are primarily responsible for our own level of happiness then? Or does a lot of it come from these outside sources?
So here's the way to think about it. We're all on a scale of 1 to 10. All right? You'll have neurotic people who are maybe on a good day they're a 5 and a bad day they're a 1. And then you have extroverts who tend to be happier. And on a good day they're a 9 and on a bad day they're a 5. Now,
okay.
The research that I did for Thrive can help you be at the upper end of your set range. I can't turn you in from a neurotic person into an extrovert, but I can help, if you're neurotic, I can help you live the best life you can live given your genetic deck of cards.
Okay. So does state of mind figure into this a little bit then?
I think state of mind figures into it somewhat, but here's the reality. We've all heard about popular psychology and having gratitude and motivational books and motivational seminars. I think all that stuff is probably good. My only issue with it, it tends to be short-term. We tend to get rah, rah, rah about something and then all mm-hmm. in, and then after 3 to 6 months we're bored, and research backs us up, and then we kind of forget what we learned. The idea behind Thrive is to distill it down to what are the 20 or so permanent things I can do to my life right now, set my life up in such a way, my surroundings, my social network, my home, my work life, so that I am always nudged into behaviors that science and statistics show will make it more likely that you'll be happy. Anybody who tells you they have the magic bullet for happiness is sticking their hand in your wallet pocket. But what I can do is say, all right, I can help you stack the deck in favor for happiness, and that's what we really learn from the world's happiest people.
Great. So we're going to talk to Dan more after the break. We're just moving into a quick break now. When we return, what are the secrets to true happiness? Do you think you know the answer? Dan Buettner discusses his incredible findings when we come back.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at Reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit Reservage.com and feel vitality today.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
And we're back. We're talking with Dan Buettner today, internationally recognized researcher, explorer, and author of The Blue Zones, Lessons for Living Longer from the People Who Live the Longest, and his latest book, Thrive, Finding Happiness, The Blue Zones Way. Dan, if people want to learn more about you and your work, where can they go to find out more information?
At BlueZones.com, there we have a calculator, actually, for both longevity and happiness. And we think they're the most accurate ones available online, certainly the most accurate ones for free. They each take about 3 minutes. And at that website, there's also an abundance of resources that we've aggregated all over the course of the last 6 years. And our main tagline is living longer and better, and we really make sure that everything we say is scientifically underpinned. So it's not anecdotal. And it's not it's not just from the hip. The beauty of working with National Geographic is the fact checkers occupy the corner offices. So what we say is as true as science can confirm it.
Okay. Now, so what were the locations then that had the happiest people in the world, and what do you think contributed to that?
So the conceit was to find the happiest region of the happiest country on each of four continents, conceding the fact that different things make different regions happy, a few mm-hmm. things. The same core values make us all happy. We like to laugh. We love our children. We like the feeling of accomplishment. We like to feel physically fit. We like security. Those are all things that are uniform. But there's some slight cultural variation. So you go to Asia, and their value set is Confucian, after Confucius, mm-hmm. and slightly different than Judeo-Christian. And so we wanted to find the area in Asia that was happiest, and we thought, well, for sure we'd be buying airplane tickets and flying to Bhutan, where famously they have the happiness index. Well, it wasn't Bhutan. It wasn't the beaches of Fiji. We found the happiest place in Asia in Singapore, which raises eyebrows because that's a place known for caning and for hanging people who have drugs and fines against spitting and failing to flush past public lavatories. And the way we found this, it wasn't just a bunch of editors sitting around thinking, well, what do you think? It was the result of data. There's a Gallup organization, the World Value Survey out of the University of Michigan, and the World Database of Happiness out of the Netherlands. And they've gathered tens of millions of surveys, and these surveys represent about 95% of the world's population. And we were actually able to get those databases to identify the regions where people report the highest level of well-being and life satisfaction. And that's why we picked these places, and in Asia it was Singapore.
Okay. And then what were some of the other locations?
The happiest place in Latin America we chose was in and around Monterrey, Mexico, Nuevo León, the city of 6 million people. And it's just south of El Paso in the northeastern extreme of Mexico. Happiest place in the Americas we profiled was San Luis Obispo, which is central California, about halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And then perhaps counterintuitively, the happiest place in the world was Aarhus, Denmark. Cold, dark, almost up in the Arctic Circle, in Jutland in Denmark. And those people, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate themselves a 9 when it comes to happiness, on average. So those very happy people.
Yeah. And I recall you saying in the book that, you know, you found the people somewhat reserved, you know, not overly friendly, at least to strangers. So that must have surprised you that they ranked that well.
There's a joke about the Dane. Did you hear about the Dane who loved his wife so much he almost told her? they're not explosively emotional people. But, you know, that figures into it, because at the end of the day, happiness is not about reaching peaks. We cannot sustain being on a peak, on a high all the time. Happiness is really about a high plateau. And in Denmark, they have this law they call the Jente Law, which comes from their village mentality, that basically says you're no better than anybody else. Don't try to show off. Don't try to stick out. Don't wear the Prada suit or the Chanel shoes or drive the Mercedes, because you're not going to get a lot of credit for it. And their tax system's the same way. They'll tax, if you make over a certain threshold, you get taxed 70%. So the garbage man makes as much as a lawyer. So what you have is a society where everybody is viewed pretty much the same. People trust each other, all ethnicities and social classes and gender preferences are respected and tolerated. And at the end of the day, when you look at worldwide databases and correlations, it turns out that these values are highly correlated with well-being around the world.
And the other thing, too, you mentioned that was kind of interesting was in Denmark, they obviously don't have a lot of sunlight. So there's times when, you know, they'll just light candles. And I think there was a specific term for that. I wouldn't know how to say it.
Yeah, hygge.
Hygge.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a mix of did you say, tranquility and coziness?
Yes. And it's also associated with bringing friends together. So when the sun goes down at 4 in the afternoon and it gets grim, what you do is you light candles, you make some nice bread, you bring out wine. They're big wine consumers there in Denmark, and you invite friends over. So the thing about weather, for the most part, we adapt to it. Whether you live in Miami or Minnesota, where I'm from, you get used to relentlessly beautiful weather, and you also get used to the snow. So trying to seek happiness by trying to seek a climatic change is really not a great investment. There's a tiny, very tiny edge, we call the sun bonus if you live in a sunny area, but it's not nearly as important as the other factors that contribute to happiness.
I recall you saying as well that it seemed like they had a high level of trust there in Denmark, to the point that moms would park their baby carriages outside with their babies in them while they went into the cafe.
Yeah, and go in and have coffee.
Yeah.
And some Danish woman tried to do that in New York, and she got thrown in jail.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what would happen. So it's very different there. And I think health care is covered there as well, is it not?
Everybody has health care. Mm-hmm. You know, with very high taxes, so people grumble, I don't want to pay taxes. But on the other side of that coin, you never have to worry about getting sick and being uncared for. You have the highest investment in elderly. So when you get old, don't have to worry about going broke. If you want to seek more education, you can quit your job very easily. You're covered by health care, and you can go back to school. It's free. And, in fact, college students even draw a small stipend every month. So it's very easy. You don't have the pressures of money and of status to go after a job that really doesn't appeal to you. It's an environment where it's easy, very easy to get a job that speaks to your passions and your skills and your interests. So you have a nation of 5.5 million people who are exceedingly good at architecture and furniture design and art and niche technology, these really kind of engaging jobs. Not a lot of lawyers like we have here in America.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that you interviewed did seem to have, you know, average jobs and average incomes. And so money wasn't necessarily a great source of happiness.
As the great poet in Denmark put it, that we are a land where few have too many and even fewer have too little. And that's been kind of a value for several hundred years. It's also a place, it's the first place in the world, and I think this is interesting, the first place in the world that actually educated the daughters of peasants. Before the 19th century, you never educated women. They grew up and got married and had babies, and they took care of the, mm-hmm. the kitchen and so forth. But Denmark started these folk schools in about 1850, which not only taught girls but also boys of farmers, not just practical things, but how to appreciate art and how to play a musical instrument and how to sing and how to reach consensus in civics. And all these precursors to what we admire most about modern society. And I like to think as a society they've evolved. They've had a head start at evolving when it comes to getting to a place where individuals can maximize personal happiness, and all the other trappings of what we think is success and happiness are fall away into the background.
Yeah, I was very interested in Denmark, especially, and perhaps it's because I'm Finnish, so you know that Scandinavian correlation there. But many of the things that you talked about, I could see that in my lineage. I could see that in my family and their values, and being in Canada too. You know, we do have health care covered for us, and that is a wonderful thing, you know, that I can feel okay. Oh, my goodness, if something happens to me or my husband or one of my children, you know, we're going to be okay. It would be difficult if I couldn't rely on that.
Yeah, well, that's like most of the world. Most of the world can't rely on that.
Yeah.
But Canada's a pretty happy place, incidentally.
Where did Canada rate on the scale?
Well, I give them a B+. I don't know the exact ranking, but it's in the B+ area, whereas just south, the United States, about a B-.
Okay. Yeah, so we're pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty
and you guys are actually developing a well-being index, which you know, politicians usually use gross national product as the measure of wellness of a they try to maximize the economy. But that's a very blunt instrument trying to make a population happy. There's all kinds of better levers to pull.
Okay. I'm going to let you just hold that thought for a moment because we're just going to move to break. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with best-selling author and National Geographic researcher Dan Buettner. We're going to another break, but we'll be right back.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat. and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson, pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
And welcome back to Everyday Miracles. I'm speaking with Dan Buettner today, author of Thrive, Finding Happiness the Blue Zone's Way. Dan, one of the things that came up quite a bit was about community. This was, in fact, the top factor of happiness overall. So what should we be on the lookout for in terms of if we're looking at moving or buying a new house?
Yeah, so if you look at happiness is a cake recipe, and some of the ingredients are, did I marry the right person? Do I have enough money to take care of my needs? Do I have engaging work? Do I get the feeling of giving back? Am I healthy? All huge things. The biggest variable is where you live. If you live in an unhappy place on earth, it's going to drag you down more than anything, whereas if you live in a happy place on earth, it's going to rise you up more than any of the aforementioned. So So you say to people, well, if you're not happy, you should move. That'd be the best move to a happier place. And that brings up two questions. Well, wait a minute, I don't move very much. And two, how do I know where a happy place is? Well, it turns out the average American moves about 10 times in their adult life. So that's 10 opportunities to upgrade. Secondly, there is data now. You don't have to move to Denmark, but within America, there's Gallup and a company called HealthWays. They've gotten together, done over 1 million surveys, and we now know what are the happiest places in America. So you can do a little bit of research online and find out where happy places are, and think about moving your family there. Now, if you say, "Well, I'm not going to leave the city I live in right now," I can tell you that as a rule, people who live in cities, proper cities with sidewalks, are happier than people who live in rural areas or suburbs. So you stack the deck in your favor that way. If you live in a place that has easy access to green spaces, we know that people, when they get into green spaces, immediately report higher levels of well-being. Also, easy access to recreation. And then you want to live in a place where you're nudged into meeting your neighbors, because socializing is really important. So thinking about what city you choose, what neighborhood you choose within that city, is really huge when it comes to your happiness.
So now, this location in California that ranked quite high, what are they doing right versus other parts of the country?
This is San Luis Obispo. And in 1970, this was a place that was great if you were a department store. The highway went right through the middle of town. There was a great parking right out in the plaza of the San Luis Obispo Mission. You could have any sign you wanted outside of your business, big, huge, blinking, twirling signs. Traffic blew by. It was a great place for commerce, but it wasn't a great place to live. So 1970, so, well, wait a minute. A guy by the name of Ken Schwartz and his students galvanized the city council into focusing on, let's think about how we augment the quality of life. So they did a number of things. First of all, they said no development beyond a beltway around the city. So you can be in any part of the city and you can see green. You can walk to it. They said smoking. We know that smoking makes people more unhealthy, and therefore quality of life goes down. So they're the first ones in the world to make smoking illegal in bars and in restaurants. They noticed fast food. They passed ordinance that made it harder for fast food places to market to children. They outlawed drive-thrus. Drive-thrus, the car's parked, it's idling, it's polluting the air, it makes it easier for people to buy fast food. Commuting, letting traffic blaze through their city. They routed the highway around, and they made it really easy to bike. One of the things that Americans hate the most on a day-to-day basis is commuting to work. So as a result, San Luis Obispo, lowest rates of smoking in America, about half the average rate, one of the lowest rates of obesity, the best emotional health in all of America. And for me, they are living proof that an American population can get happier by just paying attention to what policies they put in place.
So I imagine that, you know, other cities and states and whatnot must be looking to them to see what they're doing. Do you see that, you know, other cities are starting to incorporate some of these changes now?
Well, three cities in particular. I've been working with Redondo, Hermosa, and Manhattan Beach in Los Angeles. And in fact, they've just brought me on to work with their mayors and city managers and city planners. To use some of the research from both Thrive, the happiness book, and Blue Zones, the longevity book. And over the next 3 years, we are going to try to make those communities healthier and longer lived. And we actually have Healthways and Gallup who partnered with us, so we'll be able to measure it. It's not just a facile experiment, but something that we think will really work.
And let's talk about the workplace a little bit, too, because, I mean, obviously people spend a lot of time at work. So what are some of the things, the key factors that contribute to well-being at work?
Well, the biggest determinant of whether or not you'll be happy at work is if you have a best friend there. So if you don't have, if you're not going to work every day looking forward to seeing a buddy or a girl pal, you should make that effort to socialize, to get the... The second thing is, do you like your boss? And I'm a big believer, unless you really need the money, if you don't love what you're doing, you should change. Because we spend most of our waking hours at work, and if you don't get that right, if you're not working at a job that speaks to your passions, that challenges you in an appropriate way, and every once in a while a few hours can just melt away, you're really spending too much of your life chasing after the wrong thing.
Okay. And, you know, nowadays, people are working more than they have ever before. So, you know, 60 hours, 70, 80 hours a week. I mean, when does it become too much? What is the ideal amount that we should be working? Or is there an ideal amount?
Well, I think Denmark, again, the happiest place in the world, gives us a good cue. And they work about 37 and a half hours a week. They sort of knock off mid-afternoon. And then most of them belong to clubs. So in addition to what they're doing as a job, even if that doesn't hit the mark and what their passions are, they usually belong to another organization where they can pursue, whether it's knitting or swimming or
sure,
rabbit jumping. Most people belong to these wonderful clubs.
And what about people who are self-employed? How do they rate in terms of happiness compared to employees?
Yeah, so self-employed people generally are happier than employees. And I think that has a lot to do with the number of hours you work, but also having control over your work environment is really important. You should try to take 6 weeks of vacation a year. That seems to be the optimal amount. If you're taking more than 6 weeks of vacation, we find that people tend to kind of miss work. They kind of get burnt out, bored of vacation. If you're taking less than 6 weeks, you ought to raise it. And even if you have a little bit of vacation, it is better to take a number of small vacations than one long vacation, because we get a lot of satisfaction and joy out of planning our vacation and looking forward to our vacation. And we also get a lot of joy on looking back on it and remembering and looking at the pictures. The vacation itself is usually misremembered. We don't remember much of the details. So it's better having a bunch of them so that spread out during the year and you're spending most of your years either planning the next vacation or remembering the last one.
Yeah, and I never took vacations before. I would just work through them, or I just take a day off here and there. Or then if I did take time, it was going to some conference or some kind of training. But, you know, this last spring, me and my family took a cruise together, and it was just the most wonderful experience, you know, something that we'll never forget. So now we've, you know, we have this decision. We're going to do this every year. We're going to spend this time together. I think it's really important.
You're very smart. And you also hit upon another really important point, when, especially in this Christmas season where people are out buying gifts. Research shows that buying an experience for somebody else, a cooking class for a friend or a vacation for your family, as opposed to buying stuff, is a much bigger, you deliver a much bigger of a happiness punch by buying that experience, because experiences, the memories actually gain luster with time, whereas buying something new, buying your kids a new toy or your husband a new tie or whatever it is, newness wears off in about 9 months, the newness feeling, whereas, as I said, experiences can, the memories can last a lifetime.
Yeah, and I mean, my basement is full of toys that, you know, my kids have that they don't play with. And again, that was one of the things me and my husband said to each other. It's like, you know, this was not worth it. It's okay to buy them some things here and there, but this was not worth it. Wouldn't we much rather go away together and have an experience?
Well, you've instinctively arrived at the same thing that scientists all over the world have converged upon, happiness researchers.
Great. Well, we're going to move into another break right now. You are listening to Everyday Miracles, and, you know, perhaps Dan can share some more ideas for gift giving that will help to increase happiness. We will be right back.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Let's be honest. Weight loss boils down to choices. The Take Shape for Life program features clinically tested products from Medifast that have been recommended by over 20,000 doctors in the last 30 years. There's free support from certified health coaches who've experienced personal success with the Take Shape for Life program. Talk to a health coach. Listen to the passion in their voice and their story that started with a choice. Call 1-877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise. Unveil the power of the divine feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. they set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Hi, I'm Candace McClain, and you are listening to Everyday Miracles. Thanks for tuning in. We're speaking with Dan Buettner today about his research on happiness. And Dan, I wanted to move into social life a bit. I saw from your research that you recommend people socialize for 7 hours a day. Is that true?
The happiest people in America report 6 to 7 hours of socializing a day. So, yes, we should be more. You know, the part of this book, Thrive, is to look at what the happiest people do. But the other, the last part of it is how do you set up your life so you're more likely to be happy? So if you should be getting 6 to 7 hours of social interaction a day, what I say is you need to join a club and commit to it for a while so you're nudged out of the house. Volunteering. Another way to make sure you get that social interaction. The key is to add happy people to your social network. If your best friends are obese, or if they are unhappy, or even if they feel lonely, that is as contagious as a cold. So by actively adding happier people to your social network, it increases your own happiness by 10 to 15% for each happy person that you add. And that is actually research done at Harvard University by Nicholas Christakis. And it's a permanent, because friends tend to be long-term adventures.
Absolutely. That's fascinating. And I can see the value in that. I read somewhere once that, you know, you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most.
I think that's absolutely right. The other thing you want to do, and married people are three times more likely to be happy than unmarried people, which doesn't necessarily say run out and get married if you're not married. But if you're not married, and especially if you're a woman, research shows that you're more likely to be happy if you marry a man who is family oriented as opposed to success oriented. So, ladies, you really don't want the guy who's hell-bent on becoming a millionaire. You want the guy who can't wait to, you know, coach your little son's football league when he grows up or right. Drive your daughter to the prom. And that's backed up by research, too.
So you touched upon, you know, finances there. How much is enough for happiness? Because we do need some money. We need to feel like we have some kind of safety net, right?
Yeah, so money does buy happiness, but only to a certain point. We all need food. If you wake up hungry every day, you're not going to be happy. You need
right.
shelter. You need health care. You need some mobility. You need some education, but not as much as we think we need when it comes to happiness. There's two types of happiness. One type is remembered happiness. How do I remember my life? Mm-hmm. And the problem with that kind of happiness is we only remember about 3% of our past. And then there's the other kind of happiness, which is how do I experience my life day to day, moment to moment? So, and they're really not the same thing, and they're not highly correlated. Now, when it comes to money, the richer you get, the more self-esteem you seem to get, the more satisfaction you get with how you evaluate your life. But you don't necessarily enjoy life moment to moment. When it comes to experienced happiness, you only get more of that to about $75,000 a year for a family of four. Beyond that, you're just spending too much time and resources chasing money. So what I say, what you should be, if you go ahead, try to make 75, you'll get a little bit happier with each $10,000 up to $75,000. But the big things you should do on a day-to-day basis, you should try to get 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep a day. Good research, Jim Moss out of the Cornell University. If you're sleeping fewer than 6 hours a day, you're probably 30% less happy than you could be. You should keep meat out of your breakfast. Because we know that when you eat a lot of meat for breakfast, you get less oxygen to your brain and your muscles. You feel more sluggish all morning, most of the afternoon. We know that a workout, just 20 minutes, and it could be a walk, it could be working in a garden, just 20 minutes of physical activity will bump your well-being for 12 whole hours. So you should get your physical activity in before lunch. And then worldwide, we know that people who volunteer report higher levels of happiness. Volunteering or altruism is as addictive as crack cocaine and sugar is. So you try it once, you tend to like it, and it invigorates the same reward receptors in your brain that those drugs and sugar do. So volunteering, you'll weigh less, you'll feel happier, you even have a lower health care cost. And then you want to make sure that you're doing work that makes you feel like you're giving back.
And then there's the home life, and we talked about the relationships and having a partner and things like that. What else makes for a happy home?
Yeah, so this is another big point I make in Thrive. It's how do you set up your home? And there's a couple big things. Number one, TV makes us happy, but only to 45 minutes a day. If you're watching more than 45 minutes a day, you're probably doing it to the exclusion of more authentic source of happiness. The more screens you have in your house, the more TV you're going to watch. So what I say, have one TV, have it in an out-of-the-way room, not in the room where everybody congregates all the time, and behind cabinet drawers, so TV becomes a intentional activity, not a reflexive one. The other idea I really like is either buying or adopting a dog, because research shows that dogs create an environment of calm, literally lower your cortisol, your stress hormones. And if you have a dog, the dog tends to need to be walked every day, and if the dog needs to be walked, so too does the human. So those are two permanent nudges you can set up in your home.
And, well, pets in general must raise happiness, but I guess dogs are the most. Is that what you're saying?
Well, dogs have that walking component.
Right.
You don't have so much with hamsters, for example.
Another thing that you talked about, which I thought was kind of neat, too, was the idea of creating a pride shrine. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So if experienced happiness is the sum of pleasurable moments throughout the day, one way to put a half a dozen pleasurable moments is to pick a part of your house where you walk by every day and hang on that wall things that bring you pride. Your child's report card where he got an A, or the pictures of your parents, or the place you go for vacation, the picture of your cruise. The diploma that gives you some pride and accomplishment, put them in nice frames, space them nicely in an area. In my house, I have a pride shrine, and I put it between my bedroom and my bathroom because I walk by there four or five times a day. And every time I see it, a little surge of joy.
Mm-hmm. And that would just be special for the whole family to see. You know, this is everyone's accomplishments.
Kind of a totem.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful idea. I love that. So how do you feel about America as a whole? Are Americans moving towards greater happiness, do you think, or are you concerned?
Well, since World War II, even though our absolute income has tripled, our happiness really hasn't moved. And I don't think it's really going in the right direction right now. I think 15 years ago, we all had three good friends. Now we have one and a half. We're turning away from face-to-face interaction to Facebook interaction. I don't think that's a move in the right direction. I think our effort to get everybody health care, I think that's real important. I'm not involved in politics, but I just know worldwide lessons tell us that getting people health care is important for population happiness.
Absolutely.
And, we should make sure to preserve our green spaces, I think, to remain happy.
And so what advice would you like to leave with our listeners today for greater well-being throughout the holidays and into the new year?
Well, I think one place to start is that to take a good assessment. And at BlueZones.com, we have this true happiness compass that you can take. You see where you are and get some customized suggestions, I think. That's really important in general. Look at where you live. If you don't live in a happy place, think about moving to a happier. I know that isn't immediately actionable. And the first thing you do after the holidays, determine what are your values, what are you good at, and where can you give those gifts? Maybe it's an animal shelter, maybe it's a Salvation Army, but sign up to volunteer, commit to a series of volunteer activities, and get hooked on that. That will bring you more happiness.
Thank you so much, Dan, for joining us today and sharing your findings. It's been wonderful to have you.
It's been a delight.
And have a wonderful Christmas. And I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone listening. Have a safe and happy holiday. And we'll connect with you again next week. Take care. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered.